Welcome to the Digital Families Podcast. I'm Leonie Smith, sometimes known as the Cyber Safety Lady. I'm a cyber safety educator, and this podcast is all about learning how to use the digital technology in our homes with more safety and balance. My guest today is Tony Fitzgerald from Your Town, who operates the Kids Helpline. Kids Helpline is Australia's only 24/7 telephone and online counselling service for children and young people aged 5 to 25. In 2021, the service celebrated its 30th year of operation, so congratulations. Tony Fitzgerald manages Your Town's virtual services, which includes Kids Helpline at School, and ParentLine. He leads a team of over 230 staff who each day support children, young people, and their parents across a range of issues, which include mental health, suicide and self-harm, child abuse and neglect, family relationships, and online safety, including cyberbullying and image-based abuse. In the ever-changing digital and online world, the role of support services such as Kids Helpline is more relevant than ever. In 2020, Kids Helpline received 38% more first-time mental health contacts from children and young people across all age groups than in 2019. For younger children aged 5 to 12 years, the number of first-time contacts almost doubled year on year. When I visit schools, I promote Kids Helpline to students of all ages. And when I ask if children have heard of this service, most have, which is so reassuring. But I wonder if parents have. Tony Fitzgerald, welcome to the Digital Families Podcast.
Thank you so much, Leonie. Great to be with you today and to all your subscribers as well. Welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Tony, tell us a little bit about Your Town, because I've always been a bit confused about that, the name of Your Town and then Kids Helpline. How does that work?
Yeah, so Your Town is the parent company, I guess, that runs Kids Helpline, and the kind of services that we operate at Your Town are across a really broad range of broad spectrum of services that are designed to enable young people, and this is our mission, is to enable young people, particularly those who are marginalised and without voice, to improve their quality of life. So Your Town, in addition to Kids Helpline, also runs a range of employment programs that are aimed at assisting young people get a job, get into employment. We also operate a number of social enterprises where we're employing young people and giving them the necessary skills then to allow them to move into open employment. We also run parenting programs on the ground across Australia, here in Queensland and in New South Wales and South Australia. Domestic family violence refuge here in Queensland. We also operate a refuge for homeless families in Western Sydney as well, and a range of education and engagement programs as well. So lots of different, I guess, touch points across the country now. Really our aim is to be there across the range of issues that young people are experiencing these days, and try and support them as best we can as a service. So, and we're also supported very generously by the community through the Your Town Art Union Prize Home. So that's our major fundraiser. And every time someone buys a ticket in that art union, whether they win a prize or whether they contribute to the operation of the services that we operate, they're doing amazing work to help support us to run these services.
I'll put a link to that on the podcast as well, Tony. Many parents are unaware that Kids Helpline isn't just for kids. It's also for young people up to the age of 25, and also parents. You've got the parent line. Can you explain how older how it works with young adults and parents as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's Kids Helpline is a counselling and support service that's available for children and young people from 5 to 25. That's a pretty big age range. But over the years, we've found, over 30 years of operation for Kids Helpline, we've found over that period of time that young people might actually contact us at various key stages in their life all the way through to adulthood. So they might have started calling us and reaching out for support when they were very, very young. And then when they become teenagers, they decided that they need some additional support, and even to young adulthood. So we're able to provide that support to them right up until the age of 25, which is terrific. And we also run, as you said, we also run a parent line, which is available to parents and carers in Queensland and the Northern Territory. We would love at some stage to make parent line a national service like it is for Kids Helpline. But at this stage, through our funding arrangements with Queensland Northern Territory Government, it's available there for parents and carers across Queensland Northern Territory. And really, it's you think about it, it's very similar the way we operate to Kids Helpline. It's a support service there for parents, regardless of what the issue is that they're experiencing. At Kids Helpline, we talk a lot about being available anytime, any reason. And it's the same for parents. If parents have got a concern, regardless of what that is, they're able to contact us and speak to one of our professionally qualified counsellors. So that gives you a bit of an idea in terms of both those services. But Kids Helpline is also there for parents as well. And if parents jump on the Kids Helpline website, for example, there's a wealth of resources there specifically to help parents guide them through whatever the kind of issues that their children are experiencing. And, you know, there are some great resources there that parents can access as well.
So take us through, Tony, what happens when a young person contacts your services? First of all, how can they contact the services? What are the different options? And what happens when they actually start talking to someone? And is it true to say that you can get the same counsellor back sometimes, or is that not the case?
No, that's very true. That's a core principle under which we operate, that a young person can contact that counsellor, that same counsellor, multiple times. We find that happens quite regularly. And I guess one of the primary reasons for that is that it might take three or four counselling sessions with one of our counsellors to really unpack what's going on for that young person. It may not be in that first session, that first engagement with Kids Helpline, that they start disclosing what's going on for them. So it might take, you know, a few calls with a counsellor to build that relationship and build that rapport before a young person feels comfortable to talk about what's going on for them. So really in depth. So the, you know, for Kids Helpline, we operate across a number of different channels. There's the traditional phone line. Mm-hmm. So a young person can call us on 1-800-55-1800 and they can get through to a counsellor pretty much straight away. All the contact we have with Kids Helpline, the first person that a young person speaks with is a qualified counsellor. And that's the same for our web chat service. So that's a text-based web chat where a young person can, you know, a chat box opens and they can type backwards and forwards with a counsellor in real time. Mm-hmm. And that is a very popular service these days for young people, you know, who are pretty much digital natives now. So mm-hmm. That's a medium of contact that young people feel very comfortable engaging with, because there are even fewer barriers to engagement. They feel a lot more willing to open up rather than having a conversation. And those of us who've got kids these days know that text-based communication is really it.
Oh yeah, they're a whiz with the thumbs.
They are, and the idea and notion, you know, my kids in particular, of actually getting on the phone and speaking to someone is something that's a little bit foreign to a lot of them these days. Yeah. So. And we also, believe it or not, we run an email counselling service, and we've been doing that for many, many years now, and it's still pretty popular. And the idea with email counselling is, pardon me, that a young person can jump on and send us an email, and the counsellor will respond to them, and they might end up responding with a number of emails over a period of time. And the counsellor might then encourage them to jump on the phone, for example, and continue that conversation, or even jump on web chat if they want to as well. So they're the three main, channels that a child or a young person can connect to Kids Helpline with. Before that, though, we've also got our website, and the website is...
I was going to say, is there an app as well?
There is an app. So we have an app that we've developed in conjunction with QUT called Niggle. And it's really designed to help users of the app identify those things that are bothering them, whether it's big or small. Again, you know, for Kids Helpline, we talk about any reason. And the app helps them identify what might be going on. So, you know, for example, if a user of the app wants to use that app because they're not they're feeling sad or depressed or anxious, then the app will help them identify potentially what's going on for them, and that develops what's called a niggle, which in the app is represented as a blob, and then over a period of time, through a range of resources and self-help materials that the app encourages them to access, they then can measure how big or small that blob is becoming. And hopefully that blob becomes smaller and smaller and smaller as they start to get a bit of insight into what's going on for them, and they start to potentially reach out for help and speak to a counsellor. So that's a great resource that we've got available that can be downloaded both on iOS and Android for children and young people to use. And really, I really encourage parents to jump on and use it as well. I use it myself to help work through some of the things that bother me from time to time. So it's a really useful resource. It's not just there for kids. Parents are able to use it as well.
I'll have to have a go at that. And I imagine that there's absolute confidentiality with anything that children disclose, except unless a counsellor feels that child is in danger or maybe a danger to others. So there's a duty of care. So what would happen if a child did ring up? And I'm sure there's unfortunately quite a few cases, Tony, where the counsellor can identify that they feel that child is in danger of some kind. What's the process that happens there?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And, you know, fundamentally, Kids Helpline is a private and confidential service. So most of the interactions that a young person has with our qualified counsellors, so all our counsellors are tertiary qualified, they're trained, they're paid employees, they have a great range of skills that can help support young people. Most of those interactions are confidential, private conversations between the counsellor and the young person. But every day here at Kids Helpline, we will have young people who contact us who are at risk of either harm to themselves or others, or who have been exposed or at risk of either being abused or at risk of suicide and self-harm. And we have to act, obviously, protectively to ensure their safety. And we have really stringent, robust processes in place to help us manage that. The first thing that will happen is that a counsellor will really spend some time with that young person trying to understand what's going on for them and undertake a pretty robust risk assessment just to try and get a bit of a handle in terms of what's the extent of the risk that's being presented. And then the counsellor will, if they identify that this child or young person is at immediate risk of harm, they'll have a conversation with that young person and let them know that they really need to potentially tell someone and get some support to them. So we always try and act in collaboration with that young person so that they know every step of the way what's going on and what we need to do. And if it's a situation where we've got a young person who is for example at imminent risk of suicide, then we have a great process in place where our counsellor then communicates that with one of our supervisors here on who's on shift at the same time. And the supervisor can then make the contact they might need to with, for example, emergency services, or if it's in relation to child abuse, child protection authorities, while the counsellor is still there having that conversation and supporting the young person. So, and then, you know, we can, with the right information provided by that young person, we can get that support to them pretty much straight away, which is fantastic. And, you know, we acknowledge that many, many young people reach out to us for support because they don't know where else to go and they don't know what to do in certain circumstances. So we work really, really closely with the young person to get that support to them. And as I said, you know, this kind of thing happens every day here at Kids Helpline. Sometimes we might get up to half a dozen, up to a dozen contacts on any given day from young people who are at risk of harm, and we really need to act protectively to help support them and ensure that they're safe.
And I know that Kids Helpline have been an amazing support to young people over this period of COVID, and also before that, Tony, the bushfires. I was reading on your website that Kids Helpline were very much involved with children through that. How has it been for Kids Helpline over this last, it's been a year and a half since those bushfires now?
It has, and in a word, it's been very busy for us. But the bushfires, I think, have almost, you know, we can't forget that there was this other huge event that impacted the lives of so many of us, really, across the country before COVID came along. Mm. And it's probably true to say that in many respects, a lot of the support needs for young people who've been impacted by the bushfires might only just start to emerge now because of COVID and because of what we've particularly seen in the past with natural disasters. It's usually the case that it's not until after those communities have started to rebuild that some of the emotional impacts start to emerge. We had a very similar experience during the 2009 bushfires down in Victoria, where it wasn't until 2 or 3 years after the event that we started seeing young people reaching out for help. So it can take longer, and particularly with COVID, I think COVID's really overshadowed a lot of what happened in that infamous summer here in Australia. But what we did very much straight away with the bushfires is we, through our phone system and through our web chat system, we were able to identify whether young people were contacting from impacted areas, and we gave them priority support. So we acknowledged that they might need to get some priority support, and we were able to do that. But then when COVID hit, literally overnight, the demand for Kids Helpline increased significantly. And in some months last year, we saw up to 60% increase in demand and contacts to Kids Helpline compared to the same period in previous years.
And with every issue that you're dealing with at Kids Helpline, it seems like the mental health issue is the greatest at the moment. When you're looking at your statistics with who you're helping and what issues you're helping them for, how much of it is awareness of Kids Helpline and how much of it is just the state of our society at the moment and what we're going through?
I think it's probably a combination of those two things. I mean, we at Kids Helpline, we really want to strongly encourage help seeking from an early age, because we know that sets children and young people up for down the track when they might need that ongoing support, whether it's for their mental health or whatever issue might be impacting them. So I think the strong messaging that we provided around Kids Helpline being available, along with, you know, the huge impact that COVID has had on us all. It's not just our young people, it's also our adults as well that have really felt that that existential threat to us, you know, and I think that has triggered a lot of feelings and emotions. And particularly, you know, we talk a lot about the mental health related contacts that we get to Kids Helpline, but we also had lumped within that a lot of contacts in relation to emotional well-being, and that was really just young people, and particularly, you know, younger kids trying to figure out why they were feeling this way, you know, whether it was they were feeling anxious or scared or isolated because they'd been put into lockdown, not able to connect with their friends, the change of routine, all that upheaval for them. We saw an increase in contacts to Kids Helpline over the last 12 months from the 5 to 12-year-olds. Yeah. But really encouragingly, what we actually saw there was a lot of parents encouraging their kids to contact us, or actually parents calling us and asking us if we could jump on the phone or jump on web chat and support their child.
Oh, okay. So if a parent wants to do that, they can actually contact you and arrange for a counsellor to call them, or does the child still have to initiate that contact?
No, well, usually we would encourage any parent to include Kids Helpline as a key kind of place where they might go if they don't feel safe or comfortable, or for whatever reason, speaking to mum and dad or other trusted adults in their lives. But it's very commonplace for parents to call us and then maybe put their child on the phone so we can have a conversation with them. We don't do a lot of outbound phone calls because that might happen down the track and we don't know what we're phoning into. We don't know what circumstance that young person might be at. But but for a parent to get on the phone and then put their child onto the phone to speak to a counsellor is something that we absolutely encourage, because we know parents struggle with this stuff as well, right? So it's if they've got a service like Kids Helpline that they can lean on, then we're more than happy to be there to help support their children.
And just for parents, Tony, some advice on them. If they believe that their child is at risk and they appear to be suicidal, or they're worried about that and they can't get their child to contact you, what should parents do in that situation?
Well, I think first and foremost, if they think their child is at immediate risk, then dialing 000 is the most effective thing to do. But I'd also say don't panic. You know, sometimes, your child can disclose stuff to you as a parent that you can find pretty confronting and pretty scary. And I think based on, you know, feedback we've received from young people over the years, initially all they want parents to do is be available to listen to what's going on and not necessarily to react straight away and jump on the situation straight away, but just to be there to listen to what's going on and then work with their child to figure out what the best way of supporting them might be.
It's a hard call, I think, isn't it? Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a really hard call, because while we're sort of told that you've got to take every sort of threat of self-harm really seriously, you can't the responsibility of a child to be able to determine when it's really serious for them and not is huge too, isn't it?
It is. It is. And yeah, I think that's the great dilemma and challenge of parenting, isn't it? Is to be able to kind of understand what might be going on, to pick up on some of those cues and some of those things that may not seem quite right, and you know, something's going on. But I think the most important thing is as a parent to be available there just to listen to your child, to be available, and then make sure that they understand if they don't feel comfortable talking to you, and that can happen for a myriad of reasons, that they know where they can go to get that support, and then they know whether it be other trusted adults in their lives or whether it's services like Kids Helpline. I think, you know, having a really open conversations with your kids and really role modeling the positive aspects of seeking help. You know, we do it with our kids' physical health, and it's quite natural for our kids to come to us and tell us they've got a sore tummy or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
If we can normalize that in relation to their mental health as well, and just go, that's perfectly fine. We all suffer from ill mental health at some stage in our lives, and the important thing is that we encourage our kids to reach out and talk about that when it's concerning them.
That's a really good point there, Tony. When I was looking at your statistics for 2020, I was actually quite surprised to see that overwhelmingly it's girls using the service. So 75% of contact was from girls. I found that quite worrisome, because I wondered what the boys were doing. Is it girls that are suffering more, or is it just boys have that that real fear that they're seen as weak, perhaps, for reaching out for help? Or what's happening there, Tony?
We know that boys suffer, mental health concerns just as much as girls do. So, and in some respects, boys are probably, can be quite a vulnerable cohort, because those help-seeking trends are not necessarily there. So I think part of it is our cultural norms. I think we've still probably got a long way to go to help our boys understand that it's actually a sign of strength to reach out for help. It's not a weakness at all. Mm. And I think as dads and as adult males, we've got a role to play there to role model that to our sons and help them understand that, as I said, it's a sign of strength to put your hand up. It's not a sign of weakness. I think there's work for us to do to really understand to how young boys might seek help. I think far too often we assume that they might look for help in the same way as girls do, and I wonder sometimes whether that's the case. Mm-hmm. So from Kids Helpline's perspective, we want to ensure through some of those softer entry points, whether it's the content on our website or whether it's being accessible online in places that young boys hang out, like YouTube, for example, those of us with...
Yeah, you've got a channel with boys. I noticed. Toasted TV, which is really cool. I actually, with your permission, I want to use one of the videos that you've got on there that demonstrates how Kids Helpline works. So I can show the kids at my presentations exactly, you know, you've got a role-playing situation there on the YouTube channel, I noticed, with Toasted TV that shows kids exactly what happens when they ring up, which is really useful.
It is, and that's, you know, that's the real intent of that content on YouTube and on our websites is to, I guess, be relatable for young people, whether they're girls or boys, and really break things down for them a little bit in a way that's engaging for them, so that they can really kind of understand in a way that's going to be meaningful for them. So, but that's, you know, we've got to meet young people where they're at. And constantly be there so that you know that there are options for them and they understand the value in services like Kids Helpline. So those kinds of videos and resources, we're absolutely happy for them to be shared as far and wide as possible, because they really do help kids understand how we operate and really demystify some of those questions that they have.
Yeah. I thought they were that was great, and I also noticed you've got a peer support program. So for boys, that might be something that they would find really useful, because I know for a lot of children they feel very alone. Although we know, unfortunately, there are so many kids who are going through the same issues and feelings, they can feel quite alone, and having that peer support might be something that all young people can turn to. How does that work, Tony, the peer support program?
Yes, so our peer support platform is a platform called My Circle, and we've set it up to replicate as much as possible a social media environment. So there's a lot of engaging tools, there's a lot of engaging content there, but most importantly, it's a platform, it's a secure platform where young people can participate in focused discussions around potentially, you know, the issues that impact them, like anxiety or family relationships. As you said, young people find great value in being able to share their experience with others, and that really validates for them that they're not alone. It's not just them that this is impacting, but there are other people out there who are going through the same thing. And so we invite participants to participate in specific topics, and then we have a counsellor there who is always guiding the conversation and providing resources, information that will be evidence-based. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to ensure that young people are accessing the right information, because we know in the open social media world, that's not necessarily the case. And really guiding them through that supportive discussion over a period of a number of weeks, where they can share that experience with each other, but also be guided by a counsellor. And importantly, if they need that specific one-on-one support, then the counsellor can encourage them to contact Kids Helpline, and we can connect them directly to those supports. And this is a project that we're running in conjunction with Sydney University and with the Bupa Health Foundation. And we hope by the end of this project to be able to release a best practice framework so that other organisations can also adopt the same way of working with not just young people, but with others in general in that peer support kind of environment. So it's a very exciting project for us, and one that we know young people are going to want to engage in. It's certainly something that we see as a very big part of the future of Kids Helpline to help complement some of the other channels of support that we provide young people.
Is that done through a forum type platform, or is it done?
Yeah. Okay. So it's, as I said, it's a platform that we've customized, but it looks and feels a bit like Facebook or Instagram. So it's very interactive. We're able to post a whole range of content, whether they're video, whether they're memes. But it's content that's designed to engage, a bit like the content you see on our YouTube channels, okay. but built around specific topics and discussion points.
Thank you so much for your time today, Tony. I got a lot out of that. I hope parents also got a lot out of that, and also teachers. I have a lot of teachers that listen to this podcast. Have you got any final words of advice for families during this really stressful time that we're living through?
Look, I think probably, as I said before, I think as a parent, just to be there and provide those avenues for those small moments, those small conversations that that your child may want to have around how they're feeling, I think that's really important. The other thing, I really encourage parents to jump on the Kids Helpline website with their children and work through some of the resources there. There's a range of topics and information that's designed for parents, but also designed for kids of different ages as well. So it's all very age appropriate. And that helps familiarise them so that at a later stage, they might want to jump on the website themselves and have a look around and access some of the materials there. So I'd really, really encourage that. And you know, if you as a parent are struggling with what your young person, your child is going through, encourage them to give us a call, get in contact with Kids Helpline. As I said before, we've got qualified counsellors who are trained across a range of issues. They're really, really talented, skilled group of people who can be there to support your children and young people. So 1-800-55-1800 is the phone number, but also the website at kidshelpline.com.au.
Thank you, Tony Fitzgerald. It's great to talk to you, and congratulations on your 30-year anniversary. I was just thinking as you were talking, you probably had contact by fax all the way back there.
Well, you know, back then it was, and it was interesting because we've gone and had a look at the history, and back then it was phone booths. You know, kids calling us literally from phone booths.
Phone booths, yes. Now they don't know how to use them.
They wouldn't know what one is now. So.
I had to teach my boys about how to use a phone booth a couple of years ago, just in case they were in the city and they lost their mobile phone. It was like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We put Kids Helpline stickers in phone booths across the country back then, but now it's not needed. They've got their own phones, haven't they? So it's we've come a long way.
Yeah, and it's just amazing to talk to you and hear about all the fantastic things that Kids Helpline are doing. Such a necessary service, and all the best for Kids Helpline for the next 30 years.
Thank you so much, Leonie, and thanks to your subscribers for taking the time to listen today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Tony Fitzgerald from Kids Helpline. Look, if any of these issues mentioned have raised any concerns for you, you can contact the Kids Helpline parent line if you're in the Northern Territory or Queensland, or Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36, Lifeline on 13 11 14. The parent line number is 1300 1300 52. Thank you so much for listening to the Digital Families podcast today. If you like this podcast, please leave us a review or some feedback on YouTube or your favourite podcast app. I absolutely love to hear what you think. Love the feedback. Maybe you've got a suggestion for an upcoming guest, and tune in again next week for our next chat about all things digital and how it affects families.